to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa, formerly of Cultivating the Lovely, and on this podcast, we focus on wellness, beauty, style, planning, and life. Basically, life is messy, and here we learn to live well anyway. So join me on this journey as we figure it out together. Just to get us started, I'll go first, and today I am going first with my dear friend Shell Bruzis back on the show, and we are talking about some of our spring favorites, but it's a little bit different than we have done some favorites episodes before, because these are mostly like experiential things, like things we are doing with people in our lives, with our families. We are having so much fun, and I think it's a really kind of unique episode in that way. Plus, it's just fun to get to have a conversation style episode with her and be able to include you guys in it. But before we jump in, I do want to mention what we've got going on in Patreon right now. You guys, I've had a big cry from the patrons letting me know that they really wanted more planning content, and I was like, well, if you're gonna force my hand, I mean, you guys know I love planning, and it is the perfect time to be planning for summer, to really be getting a grasp on what you want your summer to look like, what is reasonable for your summer to look like, how much you can actually get done, what you need to accomplish, what you want to enjoy this summer, making sure you have the flexibility and the preparedness to be able to enjoy the things that you want to enjoy this summer. All of that we are talking about this month and early next month in Patreon. We're getting ourselves all ready. Now, I'm going to have a little snapshot episode coming up next week where I'm going to give you kind of the general overview for how to be preparing for summer. But if you really want a deep dive, you want to get in there and figure out all the little kinks and get yourself ready for summer, you're going to want to come join us in Patreon. I'm doing daily lives. There is a Trello board template to help you walk through everything. And it's just a good time because we all really enjoy each other. So we would love to welcome you over there into Patreon. Go to patreon.com/livewelltogether and you can become a part of the crew. We've got all different levels for you to be able to join. You can get in for as low as $5 a month. That's like nothing. That's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You can come and join us, get to be a part of the community, join in on the daily lives, and learn how to really get yourself set up really well for summer this year. We would love to have you come join us. Okay, without further ado though, let's get on with this episode with me and Shell talking about some of our favorite things right now. Welcome back, Shell.
Oh, thank you. It's so fun to be back.
I know.
I'm good to chat with you.
I'm so excited to have you for this episode because we thought, well, it's been a little while since we've just done like a favorites and a fun kind of almost like a catch-up episode. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, we've had a lot of like chiropractor content and, you know, like we're going to be doing a big summer planning series. And then we're also hoping, and you're kind of in on this with me, but getting a lot more local women on the show and all of that kind of thing. So, but before that, I thought it'd be fun. Like, let's just have a chit chat because everybody says they like these episodes. So here we go.
And conversational.
And I think that today also, it's a lot of our favorites episodes, I think, are sort of product driven, not like we're trying to sell products, but like, oh, I found this thing I love where, but now I like for this episode, from what I know I'm bringing to the table and what I've gathered from you is I think it's going to be a little bit more experiential, which is kind of fun too. Yeah.
Yes. I'm excited. I can't wait to do yours.
I know. It's been a very different time lately. So it's going to be, I think, a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you want to start?
No, I don't know. You start.
Okay. Well, I will start with one that I think that you will have things to say about too.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. So I finally, last weekend, well, I started Mother's Day weekend and then I wrapped it up this past weekend. I went and got all my flowers for my pots. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I really went in for it last year. It was the first year that I was like, you know what? I do want flowers. Like, what is inside of me?
And you're so a flower convert.
I know.
Pulled you over to the
I totally am. And so like I had gone with my mom last year, and really though, like I was excited and I wanted to do it, but felt like I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know what to get. And so she kind of helped me along the way. But then of course, I mean, they were beautiful, but my pots looked a lot like what her pots.
Right.
Like, which is perfectly fine. They're beautiful. She does a great job. But this year I felt a little bit more, I don't know.
You knew what you wanted a little more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And personalize it to a look that it feels like you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I felt, I was a little nervous to be like, Mom, I love you and I love your flowers and they're so pretty, but I'm not buying the same thing as you. And like, it felt like rebellious to do it.
But I'm sure she was okay with it.
Yes, she was. And then she came over and she was like, I think your pots look more like mine than you want to admit. It's like, well, maybe they do.
But, I don't like that.
But I was like, I didn't buy any geraniums. So,
oh, there you go. Yeah.
Lay off me with your old lady flowers. But she is not old. She would die if she.
No, she totally is. She's hipper than I am by 10 years.
She is pretty hip. She enjoys being hip. But
she's amazing.
I went in a different direction. Like, first of all, I mean, I think some things have helped. I've continued to hone in my style, I think, over the last couple of years and even in the last year, and started realizing, like, I had bought this pot to go out front last summer that was just like a good price and whatever, but I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. And then this year I saw these white pots at Target and I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Those are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I got those. So it just feels like already that part of it was more in line with my aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this picture on Instagram and it was all different kinds of flowers, but they were all shades of purple. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like that's what I want to do. I want to do whites and purples. Mm-hmm. And so all the flowers I got were whites and purples. Some things were like stuff I'd never bought before. Last year, I realized I loved the dahlias, and so I got more dahlias. Hmm. And so I collected all of them over the past couple of weeks, and then I finally sat down and did the big planting. I had 10 pots.
Oh, that's so amazing.
How have I acquired that many pots?
In 1 year. That's so awesome. I love it. You have more than I do. I don't think I have 10 pots. I think I have maybe 6.
But you have a yard.
I do have a yard.
That makes
sense. So you need more pots because I have a whole entire yard. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to like make up for it. But I did like a lot of groupings of things. One of them I am hoping actually like revives itself because I bought this big, beautiful grass last year that just like added height to my back patio, which I really loved. And I don't know if it's making the return.
Did you have it? Did you store it in the garage over the winter?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Like the only thing I can think of is that maybe it needed water, and if it didn't get water, it died from not being watered, but it should be just dormant. And I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But those perennial grasses are such an investment. They are gorgeous, but they are so finicky. So like sometimes I think they're okay to like 42 degrees or whatever, but if it drops below that, maybe it kills them, or maybe we have to water them. Them all been trying our garage. We didn't know that. We'll have to get to the bottom of this, but I don't know.
I needed to do more research and I just didn't do it. And so I guess it's on me if this thing doesn't come back. But the rest of everything I'm super happy with. I even did one planter with jalapenos and chives and a squash.
So fun.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to end up having to take the squash out and put it in its own thing.
Maybe you'll have to.
Yeah.
I just love what you have come up with your color palette. It's really bright and crisp and just really good contrasting colors. And I know you had said, you mentioned like the thought of spray painting all your pots white, which is another idea. If you don't love your pots currently, just paint them the color you want them. I think that'd be a cheap, easy, quick kind of getting what you want without having to go and pay, because they're not cheap to buy. So if you can find a cheap one somewhere that's big, then paint it what you want, the color you want it to be. I love that idea.
And I didn't end up getting to it before I planted everything.
Maybe you will someday.
Yeah. But it's still like on my radar. I think I would really like to. I think it helps that I put like a lot of white flowers in them. And so I felt like, okay, you know, like even if I don't get to it this year, I love what it all looks like.
And after you've lived with those white pots for, you know, the summer, you'll either decide like, oh, it's fun to have a couple, or I love it so much, I want them all to be white, or, you know.
But it's just been like a really fun process to kind of grow in. I mean, I've definitely like over the last fall, winter, even this spring, my inside plants have gone through the roof, and you know, I have like insane amounts of them. My little neighbor girl calls me the crazy plant lady in the neighborhood. I'm like, who would have ever thought that would be my name? But I just love it. They are bringing me so much joy. Yes. And it was funny because my mom, I mean, our life has changed in our neighborhood a lot. There's like a ton more kids. There's some people across the street, you know, like there's a lot of like front of the house living this year, which we have not done any other year. Like this year, it's like garages are all open and kids are playing in like the communal space. And there's a lot of like back and forth.
And you guys are the hub for that. You're right next to that communal space. And I could love that more for your neighborhood. It's really cool to see.
I know. It's so much fun. And I'm going to talk about it more. Yeah. But my mom actually asked me, well, do you even want plants this year for your back porch since you're doing so much like front of the house living? And I hadn't even thought about that. Like I had just already, because I had already bought more pots, you know, I was like, well, no, that's like become a thing for me that I've realized I really enjoy. And I love the beauty of it. I love like putting it all together. And I really love having that little sanctuary space on my back porch. Like I completely plan on using it in the mornings this summer before the kids get up and, you know, going out
there. As a place of quiet and refuge for you. Yeah, you need that. I think that that is as important as the, you know, especially as you are being more and more hospitable and reaching out more in your neighborhood, and you're really giving, you know, and being in that place of like, let me like love you and care for you in this way. Those flowers in the front, of course, are so special because they're welcoming, you know, the neighborhood in. But then the back yard flowers are more for you.
Yes, totally.
And for quiet.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I just planted them on Sunday, and yesterday was Monday, and my kids got home. They hadn't seen any of it. They had been gone for the weekend. And they came out, like, I was out there, I think I had just been watering, and Emerson just came out there, and she sat down in one of the chairs and like wanted to chat with me. And it was just like this perfect little space for us to have, where it wasn't, we weren't in her bedroom, we weren't in my bedroom, we were just like out on our little porch. And we got to just sit there and enjoy the outside and have a little conversation and catch up after her being gone for the weekend. And it was like, these are the moments. This is why I wanted this little space. And and it's so fun too, because it's like I had the slider open, and we keep our garage kind of open right now, and I could hear people coming in through the garage door, and then they'd go find us on the back porch. And it is kind of fun, especially because we're doing so much with the particular neighbors and we're eating a lot of meals with them. And at that point, it goes from being like the whole neighborhood to just our two families. And I was like, well, we can even do like, we could have a picnic dinner in the backyard and that kind of thing. And when we move it to that space, then it's just our families and it's not the neighborhood at large, like all the little neighborhood kids showing up. Which is so much fun, but it's also nice to have that time when it's just our two families. And so it's kind
of, you got to create a space for that that's kind of more protected from the neighborhood at large. I get that.
So it feels like just like our little kind of like sanctuary space, because they live on the side of the neighborhood where it's like all open and where all the neighborhood kids congregate. So it's kind of fun to have like two very different feels to our different houses, and being able to have kind of that space and getting to know each other and investing in each other. And it's just been a lot of fun. So,
and I love that too. You know, here you are in an apartment, which is it takes a lot of creativity to figure out how to make that space when you don't have it. You know, like you said, for me, I have a whole yard. I have a front yard and a backyard and it's fenced and, you know, like all that stuff. So that creates those natural ability to have like privacy or whatever you're looking for, but you are creating that. And I just love it. I love it so much.
Okay, you guys, when I found out that I was going to work with this new sponsor of the podcast, I was so excited because I love their product and I've wanted one for a really long time. It is Ember Mugs. You guys, these are so awesome because they keep your coffee or your tea or whatever you have in there at the perfect temperature. The exact temperature that you like it at. It is controlled by the Ember app where you can set it to make sure that it is delicious every single sip that you have. It has a super sleek design. It's got a long-lasting built-in battery so you can sip your coffee or your tea in any room without it getting cold. And when you're ready to recharge it, you just place it on the included charging coaster. So even that looks nice. And they also have this amazing feature where you put your drink in there and the Ember app will notify you when your preferred drinking temperature is reached. So not only are you not having to run to the microwave to reheat your drink all the time, but you're also not going to burn your mouth. I hate when my drink is too hot. And I love that I don't have to like taste test it, you know, and scald the roof of my mouth. They tell me when it is at my perfect temperature. And I think that's what really sets Ember apart from other products on the market is that they don't just keep your beverage hot. Most of those keep your beverage too hot. Ember offers precision temperature control. They have it available in 10 ounce, 14 ounce, and a travel mug. Ember just released a stunning new rose gold edition to add to their metallic collection. That's the one I have. And this new mug is the perfect pop of color for any work from home setup or you just have it next to your, you know, like little morning time area that you have. It makes the ideal gift for any coffee or tea lover. And I have really enjoyed using it not only in the morning to keep coffee warm, but I really love it at night. That is like my perfect time to use my Ember mug because I like to have my chamomile tea and it would always get cold before I was ready for it to get cold. And I just want to be able to like sip it and savor it all through the evening so that I can wind down for the night. And now with my Ember mug, I can do that and it stays the perfect temperature. You guys, it's so good. I love this thing. And first time Ember customers can use my code LIVEWELL for 10% off a purchase of $129 or more. So go to ember.com. And if you are a first time Ember customer, you can use my code LIVEWELL for that 10% off a purchase of $129 or more. You are going to love it. And I mean, I feel super blessed that with our townhome, the way it's configured, like we do have a backyard space that's fenced in because on our side of the street, we have that. Yeah. We don't have that across the street. And we share it with the three other units in our townhome. But at least we have that. Like it has been shocking to me to see like, oh, what a different feel from this side of the street to the other side of the street.
Right.
Like, we do have more of that seclusion and stuff.
Right.
But it's just all around. I mean, I guess this kind of goes with another one of the things that I was going to say was my favorite. It's just, it's been the people in this season. I mean, I think we are going through another really big season of transitioning in our life right now. As you may have picked up on, everyone, as we are having dinners with the people across the street quite often and doing a lot of activities with them. And it's just like, it's a very... it's becoming a different way of doing life than we've had so far, but it feels like so full with people right now. And after, you know, a lot of years of a lot of loneliness, especially when my kids would be gone.
Yeah.
That has been like such a life-giving thing.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. I couldn't be happier for you to have that. Like to notice last week you weren't lonely while your kids were gone was like, the best gift to my heart, like for you. I just like, wow.
Well, and it felt like, I mean, I missed them, of course. I want them home.
You always miss them.
But I think because we have so many people in our life right now, like their cups, I feel like are getting filled so much more before they go and they're being filled immediately when they return.
Yes.
And I'm seeing like such a visible difference in my kids that is just like, some things you just, you don't expect or you don't see coming. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. been pretty amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an answer to our prayers for your family. That's for sure. Like, yeah, just to see that healing, you know, happening.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's exactly what it feels like. It's mm-hmm. like healing.
And safety, safe people, yep. safe places, you know, for yes. their, for your hearts. So, yeah. Love seeing that unfold.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Give us one of your favorites.
Oh, okay. So one of my favorites currently this last week is the game Pickleball. I don't know if you guys if you've ever played it before, but David loves playing it. And so this last week I have jumped in playing with him and
look,
it's really fun.
It's
like a little old person game. I think it's yes. like the fastest growing game in the world for like people over 65. I don't know. It's a perfect game for me, but it's been really fun. And we have been playing, I think we played 3 times this last week, but we're kind of on a kick with it right now where we will drive to like the park nearby. They have a, you play it inside. It's like a tennis court, but then the pickleball lines are within that. So it's like a smaller, yeah, okay. I use a wiffle ball and like a ping pong paddle sort of looking thing.
Yeah.
So it's like tennis, but less intense. Oh, it can get intense, but yeah. For me, it's like perfect.
For your speed. Yeah.
Perfect for a new activity for me, like a little old lady sport.
I
but,
love that.
The way David plays it is not like that. But yeah. So anyway, of course, he's been beating me and it's fine. I'm like happy for him to win because I have issues with winning myself anyway.
Yeah.
But there is a part of me that just wants to get better enough to at least be close to being able to like, you know, stay yeah. with him.
Yeah. I love that. So I need to come play you at some point and then you would yes. feel so much better. You'd be
No. Anyway, so we have played on one court and then Jack and Annabelle have been playing together like singles on one court. So last night we combined after we each had our individual games and played doubles. And at first no one wanted me on their team, which is understandable. And I was fine. My feelings were not hurt, but then eventually I was like, come on, Annabelle, let's just do boys against girls. Like we can do it. Like, let's just give it a whirl. Like, and see, she's like, I don't want to be on dad's team.
Of course she does. That doesn't surprise me at all.
So anyway, we did really well, you guys. We played to 5. Normally you pay to 21, but shorter games are, I do better with the shorter games because the endurance is kind of what kills me in the end with David is like he can just out endure all day long.
Yeah.
So we played to 5 and we lost 4-5. Like we were like so there and they barely beat us. So we were really proud of ourselves. We hung tight with them. And so anyway, pickleball is our new favorite thing in ever to do as a family. And then like with David and I having something that we can both enjoy together and that it's just like that good way to connect and especially kind of like. And you have experienced this too, I know, but like kind of something that he wants to do, I guess. Like a lot of times I feel like I'm trying to get him to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that is tricky. So to find something that we both enjoy, that we can do together. And sometimes it's kind of putting yourself out there, but it's good for me. Like I need to be more active. I need to like, that is all good for me. And so maybe it wouldn't be my first choice because like I would just love to sit and like drink coffee and talk, you know, but he can only do that for so he drinks his coffee in like 2 seconds and he's done. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, oh, now what do we do? So this is a great way to connect. And it's just working for our family. And as our family's gotten older, I'm noticing that I have to be shifting with them to try and find out like, what does everybody want to do? Because sometimes we'll be like, oh, we want to take a hike. And we've had a lot of like, you know, so this is something that everyone seems more excited for, which we've hiked over the years a lot as a family.
Yeah.
But like lately we haven't gotten like the enthusiasm, which is fine. Sometimes you just make your kids go and they end up enjoying it in the end. And there is that element too, but this is something we're all loving right now. So it's one of my favorite things.
Well, and it kind of reminds me back to our like friendships and celebrating friendships episode because we talked about like what expectations are and what we should require of our partner or our spouse or whatever, because I think especially, I don't know if it's our ages or what, but I'm finding more like I would rather not force them to do something they don't want to do most of the time. And yeah. I'd rather get that experience with my friends who enjoy it as much as I do. And we can just really relish in it and then do the stuff with them that they are, that's more their speed. I mean, I feel like that exact same thing you were just saying about like being active and everything, because that is not my normal pace.
Yeah, not our go-to.
I will do yoga or whatever, but like getting out there, getting after it has not been in the, I haven't enjoyed that in the past, but a lot of it is also like feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. Still feeling like, oh, there were injuries from births and whatnot. Like, is my body going to operate the way that I want it to?
Right. You know?
And so, but my kids being out all the time in our neighborhood, playing basketball, playing soccer, and then there's like workouts happening. And the neighbor, the hot neighbor, he was gifted this amazing like Nordic Track elliptical machine. And he was like, just come over and do it. Like, just get active. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but okay. Anything to be around the hot neighbor. So I
started, how many miles do I have to run?
Right. And it won't injure my birth injuries because it's on an elliptical. And so
huge.
Yeah. And so I started doing it like a couple of weeks ago. And I gotta say, I'm doing it probably 3 or 4 times a week now. And between that and Zumba and like I've even gone out there and played basketball. What in the world?
Who even are we?
I know.
This is coming from two ladies who are just not like known for their like active, you know, activity, like sports wise.
No, like we would go on walks. There's the walking, you know, but this is like a totally different. This involves like me using my athletic, sweating and using my athletic gear for not lounging.
Not just looking pretty.
Yes. I mean, that helps. I'm glad I've got good athletic gear. But sometimes I really do feel like I have to step up the game. I may have done that yesterday. It was like, oh, you're going to come out wearing that? Well, I'm going to come out wearing this. So, you know.
So good.
But
yeah, and I decided in my old lady sports that I need to order myself a squirt.
Oh my gosh. I love
it. Like an old one.
Your official pickleball squirt.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. But I mean, I'm surprising myself by how much I'm enjoying it. And like that I feel good. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I will
say. That wasn't a joke about those good endorphins.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't lying to us.
I know. Dang it. But I did run the other day after the ball and, and hot neighbor may have mentioned like, oh, wow, I'm witnessing that for the first time. Like, and then he did an impression of me and he said, I looked like a lady who was like running out of a restaurant, but trying to not like bring attention to herself. Running after someone, and he did this ridiculous run, and I was a little surprised. It really like it struck a nerve with me, and I was like, fine. And the basketball was sitting in the middle of the street, and I may have kicked it down the road and started to walk home, which at that point he felt super bad, and he was like, I didn't know that was gonna strike such a bored with you. But and then he was like, well, you can't just not ever run in front of me again. I was like, watch me like not ever run. But then we ended up going for a flipping jog the next day. Like, as long as I'm behind you, you don't watch my shadow.
Well, all I can say is whenever I jog with David, I am definitely behind him. Not because I want to be, just because I have to be.
Well, that too.
Can't keep up.
I mean, we made it around like the block and I was like, is it supposed to feel like my heart's going to explode? Like, is that normal?
Oh, sadly it is.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, as you hear me mention in this episode, we recently got a feeling spinner. And what that is this little toy that helps children talk about their feelings with their caretakers. It was created by a mom who wanted a simple way to check in with her boys' emotions at bedtime. So she would have her boys flick the spinner, and whatever word it landed on, she would ask them, "When did you feel that feeling today?" It became a great conversation starter for them. Sometimes the moments were quick and lighthearted, other times they were longer and more serious. So now this mom has realized this is a really awesome tool, and she is selling feeling spinners at feelingsspinner.com to help other parents like me connect deeper with their kids. And you guys, we have been doing this all the time with my kids and with the neighbor kids. We get together for dinner all the time, and it has been such a great tool. They love using it because it's got a whole range of different emotions on it, and it's super fun because it feels like a toy. We pass it around the dinner table almost every night, and it has been so good to not only hear what is happening in their day, but to bond together a little bit more and really know that they are enjoying getting to have these conversations. And it's such an easy entry point to be able to have this kind of deep conversation with each of them. I mean, I'm sure that all of us are familiar with when we ask our kids, "How was your day?" And then you only get like "fine" as the answer. But this feeling spinner helps it to feel more fun and natural. And I can't recommend it enough. It's such a great tool to use as a part of your daily routine. And it communicates to children that it's good and normal to experience a range of feelings every day, even the uncomfortable ones, because there's all kinds of different things on the spinner. So if you think that this would be an awesome tool for you and your family, go to feelingsspinner.com. And if you use the code LIVEWELL at checkout, you can get 20% off. Again, that's feelingsspinner.com. Use the code LIVEWELL for 20% off and totally revolutionize how you are having deep conversations with your family.
Well, you're making me want to get back on my runs. I've been running, slow jogging. I don't even know. You can't even call it running. But I had been doing that for a few weeks and I have it. Now, like, you're making me like miss it.
Oh, well, I don't. We made it around the block.
Describing that feeling.
We made it around the block and then I was like, I'll be on the elliptical. Like, I'm not doing that again.
Right. It is awful. A way better option, isn't it?
Yes.
Smoother ride.
Totally. Oh. Totally. But I have been happy to like be like, okay, I am feeling good enough to warrant like wanting to do it more. And that is really awesome. Saying something, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And it has just, I feel like we are thinking more in terms of being active and having fun as a family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think especially during COVID, it was like you're mm-hmm. all home all the time and just sick of each other. And
oh, you know, the worst thing ever to be like stuck inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially
with no breaks.
Yeah. And after a long winter and now that like activities are starting to wind down for us, like ballet is wrapping up mm-hmm. and all of that, it feels like, okay, like I went for a hike last weekend. We were talking about, like, we went to the park that has a bunch of different gardens in it. And we've been going there almost every weekend and seeing the changes, like what has bloomed since last week. And like doing little things like that have been so fun. And I think bonding for us as a family. And I think mm-hmm. it's like helping everybody to just feel better and more alive and more excited for our time
and connected together. Because you're making memories and that's super on the go. Because I mean, I just think the older we're getting, the more kids we have, like we have to find things that we all can have kind of common interest in. Or and sometimes I think it's just I need to kind of give up what my idea of that looks like and go with theirs, because I end up having a lot more fun when they are. It's just the bottom line for our family. So I'm willing to say, okay, well, maybe we won't take a hike today, but let's do whatever you guys want to do instead. You know, whatever that sounds good or fun.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a bike ride or, you know, whatever. So
totally. Well, and we've been incorporating a lot more games.
I love that you guys have. That's so fun.
It's been so fun. I think it's been especially helpful as we are getting to know this other family better. Mm-hmm. And so it's like everybody is participating and creating memories together and joking about things and talking. And we've had a really good mix of like active games and then games that actually force you to get to know each other better. Okay, I gotta find it. We've been playing during dinner all the time now. We're playing Do You Really Know Your Family? And it's like got conversation starters, but also challenges. And we answer for each other's families before we give our own family the chance to answer the question. So it'll be like, if I were to write a book, what genre would it be? Or like, what's my favorite music? Or, you know, just like all kinds of different random questions. But it's been so fun to get to do that with them and have like conversation during dinner. We've been using that feeling spinner, the one that is the they're sponsoring the podcast right now, but it like it works. It spawns conversation as they all get to like flick the little spinner thing and see what it lands on and talk about like what emotion they had, like when they had that emotion during the day. And so
I love this. I haven't heard of this yet.
It's so cool. And we've like legitimately been using it and the kids have been asking to do it. And that's been a lot of fun.
That's amazing.
It's been really good. And because you never know like what emotion it's going to land on. So everybody kind of talks about a lot of different things. And then we've also been doing Hamster, which is our name that we created for a combination of playing Twister and having Hamilton on in the background.
It's so good. I love it.
I gotta say, unlike you, Shell, I shamelessly go for the win.
Every time. I get it. Last night, Annabelle, who's a lot more like you personality-wise, we were losing and she got so upset. She like literally took the ball and like just tried to slam it on David, like as hard as she could. Thankfully there don't hurt, but she was mad. She got mad. I get it.
Like here I am up against like 7 and 8 year olds and I'm like, I will win. I don't love it. Care, little ballerina, if you're like the contortionist of the century, I'm gonna make this happen.
We don't call her mini me for nothing,
right? I know. Emerson and I have gone like head to head with each other a couple of times, and the neighbors have said like we both get the most serious expressions on our faces. We are gonna take each other down. And it's funny because like they'll get to the point where they just stop even using the spinner and they just start calling out random combinations that they think are going to be really hard for us to do. And it's,
they're just playing the board better for their entertainment.
But what's really bad is if Hot Neighbor and Roman team up because they can throw their weight around. And so if they get in a certain position, they'll just like practically sit on you. Or if they're both coming at you, it's like, what?
Well, they're taking up the whole thing. You need an extra large version for them because they're just so long and big.
I know. We actually put together two boards in order to fit everybody
to get that many people to play. That's so smart. I love that. That's ingenious.
Yeah. So it's been super fun. I was like, I'll wear socks next time so that I level the playing field a little bit, you guys.
One sock.
Yeah.
Start with one.
So, like, I'm not going to give you too much of an advantage.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Love it. It's amazing. But
it's been super fun to just be like learning new games together and like incorporating that in. And it's been such a thing. Like, I think we all look forward to dinner. And when people are looking forward to it, it doesn't feel quite as oppressive to have to cook, or especially if like other people are helping or you're collaborating on the meal. It's just it's been a super fun time, but also realizing like, oh, this is a transition. Like, I have to plan things differently than I have been. So I'm definitely looking at that coming towards summer.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I know that you just have so much kind of trauma and pain wrapped up in that time of the day that I love seeing, like, how, like, especially making dinner and the things that have been, like, incredibly hard for you to find joy in, and rightly so. like, but to hear about like now how just the redemption and like, it's just, it's really life-giving time of the day for you. And yes, it is a lot of work to feed a lot of people for sure. But to know that they're enjoying it so much, it's got to just be helpful in the whole process of like, and I think it's really fun too. Like with my kids, what helps really take for me, at least like help me get out of the rut of like, oh, I just have to make dinner again, is if someone's excited to eat something like, oh, this sounds so good. Or they just help you like with ideas, or they come in and help you maybe chop something up. Or I just like tell my people, like, can you just visit with me? Cause I just like being around everyone. So if I'm in the kitchen by myself, it's not my favorite, but if people will just like hang out with me, I'm happy to do the chopping and the stuff. But being together in that process just makes it so much more fun. And it does feel like it's not just all on you, you know, as the mom making dinner or whatever. So makes a big difference.
It does. It's been like, I have really enjoyed both the nights where we're all collaborating together. And it's like, there's multiple of us in the kitchen getting everything ready. But then there's also been the nights like last night, I was kind of getting everything together, but knowing they were all out there having fun and playing basketball, and I can open the door to my garage and just like see what's going on and still kind of be a part of it. It's just, it's been so fun. And then having all of that people time, like I've been consuming a lot less content. I haven't been reading. I haven't been like watching a lot of stuff, but it's been such a great trade-off to just get like my extrovert is just getting like filled to the max. And I love that feeling.
Oh, I love that for you too. Yeah. And I think it's okay to just in different seasons, for whatever reason, we're not reading as much or watching as much. It's fine. Yeah. It's just seasons ebb and flow like that. We shouldn't feel guilty or like, oh, I should be reading more or whatever. No, like, we should be living to the fullest, whatever that looks like. And some seasons we get to read more and that is filling, but it's okay for not reading. It's okay if you're not reading right now.
And I think in other years I've gotten down on myself about that a lot more, like, oh, I'm not meeting my reading goal, you know, but I think pretty early on this year was just like, you know what, this is going to be the year that if I'm reading, I'm enjoying my reading life.
Yeah.
And I think there've been a lot of years, especially with the podcast, that it's almost gotten kind of oppressive because it's like, I had to read so much and I was reading for a job and it just, you know, it took a lot of the joy out of it.
Right. And the time you had to get through a book was crazy too.
Yeah. Like, So I'm different like, and so many books at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really freeing to like, let a lot of that go, be a lot more particular about which books I'm going to have on the show. Mm-hmm. And just like I said at the beginning of this year, this was going to be the year that I abandoned books. And what I really meant by that was like, I'm not going to start a book and be like, oh, I hate this, but force myself to finish it.
Oh,
I would
just
like let myself let it go. But I'm also like, it's not that I don't want to be reading. There will be a season that where it comes around again. I don't have to feel like I have to be known as this, you know, like there's
no,
people are more important.
People are so much more important. Absolutely. In every season.
Yeah.
And then if you get a chance to read on the side, that's awesome. Or if you choose to read instead of watch shows, which is kind of how I just find it to be more like, I don't know, life-giving for me personally, but I'm pretty sure I've quit as many books as I've started this year. Just been like, not just like, okay, it's still on my list. It's like, nope, I'm done with this one. I'm not going to read it. So I hear you on that. And not felt guilty.
For sure. I think it's been good. But you have read a few things, right? You've definitely read.
I've read some really good books this year and I've really tried to get more, this is weird. I'm just weird this way. Fiction and novels usually aren't my go-to. I kind of gravitate towards nonfiction more. So this year I was like, I'm going to challenge myself to read more nonfiction or fiction. And I have loved what I've read this year. I've read three books, two fiction and one nonfiction that were just like, I would just so highly recommend to anyone who does need some like good reading material options. But the first one that I read, or one of the ones I read, it was actually a memoir about this lady. I think we've talked about her on the podcast. Her name's Erin French, but it's just her story of just beautiful story of a cook who grew up in her dad's diner and She loves cooking from scratch, went through just a lot in her life, a really abusive relationship, and just triumphed over so much. And it's just the story of complete inspiration of like all the things that she went through. She was really honest about like the hard parts of her life. And I think that just seems like there's so much triumph in what she had overcome. And literally everything about her is like, just like her aesthetic is just stunningly beautiful. Like she is like, people come to her restaurant from all over the world. And she has this little it's in a tiny town called Freedom, Maine. And, you have to send in postcards that get picked by lottery system in order to even be invited to it. So
cool.
But she just really rose from the ashes of a lot of hardship in her life and overcame a lot. So
yeah.
I really recommend her story. It's interesting. I haven't read a lot of books yet up until this point where there's like, you know, they use like swear words or whatever.
But oh, yeah.
I just felt like this book just seemed to be like, it didn't bother me at all. And I guess that's a disclaimer for people who don't want to read that. But I loved her story so much. So I highly, highly recommend it. And then the two novels that I have just adored this year, and I'm really picky with my fiction. Like, I don't know, I quit a lot of fiction this year. But one of them is called The Dearly Beloved by Carol Well. And it's the story about two couples and like they're coming together, what their relationship looked like as they meet each other and fall in love, and then how their friendship intertwines, and they're both pastors and pastors' wives over the years, and just like the unfolding of what that looked like through highs and lows. It's just really beautifully written, and the story itself is like, you just don't want it to end. You're so sad when it ends.
I've heard other people talk about that book and really recommend it.
It reminded me of one of my favorite novels is I'm forgetting the name of the author. Of course I wouldn't think. It reminds me of an author that I've read before in the past that I just absolutely, one of my favorite books, like in my early teens. And so she just is like a throwback to her. But modern.
Yeah.
Writer, so,
yeah.
A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. That is the name of the, probably my like top favorite novel that I've ever read.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the author of it, but it's a famous novel.
Yeah.
So, and then the book Woman of Troublesome Creek I just finished, and it is such an incredible story. It's in the 1930s in the Appalachian Mountains is the setting, and it's about a lady who's a pack horse librarian.
Oh.
So she delivers books like out into like the just where no one else could even, like they can't even get to the library, like they're so far out. So she goes like and takes her mule, but she like, this book has the most incredible twist, and it's all historically documented really well.
That's awesome. I love that.
And there's even pictures in the back of like, because these horsewomen were like, these bookwomen were a thing. Like they were historically, they have documentation of them and their work and what they did. But the story is absolutely breathtaking. And she is an amazing, like heroic character, and you love it. So those are all my recommendations.
That sounds really good. I love like when it's historically based and they've done such a good job of researching and you feel like you're learning something at the same time as you're reading it.
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
And there's the twist in this book that you're like, how is this real? But it really is. And I don't want to give that part away because it's seriously hard to put down though. Like I read it really fast. It was so well written, all of it, everything about it. So
I love that. You guys, you've heard me sing the praises of Plan to Eat 1,000 times by now because I have used this service for 6.5 years. I absolutely love it, and it is the thing that makes my meal planning life so much easier. But recently, I've been getting to use it in sort of a new way because we have been collaborating on dinners with another family most nights of the week, and I don't know what I would do without Plan to Eat because it's sort of hard to be able to collaborate on dinners and figure out who who's making what and when we're making it and how it's all going to work together. But with Plan to Eat, it just completely simplifies the system. Because first of all, it makes it super easy for us to plan the meals. We can just drag and drop the different recipes that we are using right onto the calendar. And then we've got our shopping list, which can be accessed in the app. And it's super simple for us to be able to see who has gotten what and what we still need to get and be able to split everything up really easily. I love that we can create these menus that we can repeat for different weeks so we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. And because Plan to Eat keeps all of my stash of recipes that I've used for years, it's a great place for me to go when I'm just trying to jog my memory and think like, well, what do we even normally eat this time of year? Or what sounds good? Oh yeah, these are all of our options. I just love Plan to Eat. Their super handy app makes planning and shopping easy, even on the go. And it's helping me to really pull myself out of a cooking rut that I've been in for most of the winter. So I've actually really been enjoying planning all of our meals this spring. I know that Plan to Eat can be just as much of a lifesaver for you as it is for me. And if you go to plantoeat.com/lovely, you can get 60 days free to fully try it out for those 2 months and be able to see what a difference it makes for your life. It's normally a subscription service and it's $4.95 a month or $39 a year. But again, if you just go to plantoeat.com/lovely, you can try it for 60 whole days for free. That's going to get you into the summer and you're going to love it. It's going to make your life so much easier. Go to plantoeat.com/lovely and enjoy always knowing what's for dinner. I wish I had recommendations. Normally I do. I am slowly making my way through My Dear Hamilton. Like finally I've owned it for a few years, and it's really beautifully written and really interesting to juxtapose against the play because it is different. And I have a feeling that this book is more historically accurate than Hamilton actually is. Because there were certain things that, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda fully admitted he incorporated that were not historically accurate. Like, by the time Hamilton and Eliza get together, Angelica's not even in the picture. Like, they never were in love with each other. She's already married. Like, all of that kind of thing that he thought would add, like, I don't know,
drama. More
of a drama to the play. So that has been really fun to kind of see the differences play out in this book. And I know that these two authors who write together, let me see their names. It's sitting right here, so I'll go ahead and tell you. I know we'll have it in the show notes, but Stephanie Dre and Laura Kamoy, they are New York Times bestsellers, and they did America's First Daughter, which is about Thomas Jefferson's daughter. And so, yeah, it's a good read. I just I'm slowly making my way through it as I have little snippets of time. And
That's so good. It sounds good.
And, you know, that may be the only book I get through like all summer. I don't know.
But it is for good reason.
Yes,
right?
Like, for very good reason.
Yes. Yes.
So it's been fun when I get to pick it up. So especially because we are so familiar with Hamilton.
And I was going to say your take on this book, I really want to hear it when you're done, because you have got every angle that you're coming from. You're just so well read and, you know, versed in all of this Hamilton that we've got it. Yeah, we've got to come back to it later and hear more about it from you.
For sure. We'll have to do like a fall episode and talk about my follow-up. But I will say that the way my kids know Hamilton was so helpful for Roman in history this past year, because he was doing early American history and we could literally say, like, he could quote lines and he would put them like in his papers and everything and like he could reference it, and it gives him this point of reference even now as they've moved on and they're doing Civil War history, like for him to get a grasp on time and when these things happened. And, you know, that has been super helpful that they have kind of this grounding place from the beginning of American history. So it's been
good job, mom. That's
very helpful. And whenever he gets like confused, I would be like, you know, and I could sing like a line and he'd be like, oh yeah, that did happen. Like, oh yeah, yeah, the war turned around at the Battle of Yorktown because I know that song, you know. So
I love it. Best way to learn history.
Very helpful. So I know. It. Like, okay, Lynn, you need to write one for every era of history.
It's so true.
Help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like adult version of Schoolhouse Rock. Like, yes. We need this. Yes. Grown up version.
And it's been so fun. I mean, I already mentioned that we're doing it during when we play Twister, we've been playing Hamilton.
Yes.
But it's been so fun because the family across the street also loves Hamilton. And so it's been like this bonding thing where we mm-hmm. all like sing together and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's been super it's fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So fun. Super
fun. Oh. Yeah. It's been mm-hmm. a good time. But I think I really, especially as we're getting like well into May, by the end of May, I will officially be able to plan our summer because mm-hmm. I will then know like when our vacation weeks are and like when all of that is happening. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I realized something the other day. This is going to be in my newsletter probably this week, but I realized that for me, and I would say for other people as well, but just doing the next right thing is mm-hmm. not a long-term solution. Mm-hmm. It is a survival mode solution mm-hmm. to be able to get through like critical times. Mm-hmm. But if you always exist in that place of just doing the next right thing, then it actually is much more exhausting mm-hmm. and frustrating. And so I am starting to like, I feel like pull myself back up out of that mm-hmm. place again, where it's like getting back on top of life and doing the planning and mm-hmm. figuring out how to do it well, especially with the way our life has been transitioning. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, I really feel like my kids have leveled up in age. Like you kind mm-hmm. of mentioned this too.
Yeah,
I
mean,
we both have a range of ages, mm-hmm. but like your youngest is now 4. That is different. Then
yeah, most of my kids have had birthdays, so I guess that maybe helps with that feeling of like, oh
yeah,
growing up here.
Yeah. And to even like assess like, oh, what can you guys help with and how can this mm-hmm. summer look different than other summers have looked, because you are older.
Yep.
And so I should be able to, you know, arrange my work time differently or the activities we're going to go do this summer or all of that kind of thing. It's been exciting. I'm really looking forward to just really being able to sit down and do that hardcore planning mm-hmm. for the summer. I think it's going to be the most different summer that maybe we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for you because, I mean, for you, planning is just like you are able to, that's who you are. So
yeah,
I'm so excited for you to get there and be able to do that. And kind of just like you said, we're out of survival mode into just more like this thriving life, you know, that that's building right now.
Yes.
Thriving and beautiful. So
yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like these sorts of transitions are good and positive. Yeah. We've been through a lot of really difficult transitions in the past 4 years. And mm-hmm. we've been through some good ones too, like when we got to move into our own place and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is like that next level. And we've lived in our house now for 2 years. And so that's like, it didn't come quickly, but it is like things are happening and changing. And that's really exciting mm-hmm. and refreshing. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, I'm excited to see how to get to plan this summer and have it be mm-hmm. different. And that's all going to be coming on the podcast. And we're also, we're doing a ton in Patreon. We're actually doing like a deep dive on summer planning. So like, we're going to give the overview here on the podcast, but we've got a Trello board template that we're going to have up with Patreon and just like really, really going into like, if you want to really dig your feet in and plan out your summer so that then you can just like enjoy your summer. That's what we're working on through the month of May and early June. So
I just want more time outside. And so how do I like make sure that I'm either pre-prepped enough food that like we can grab pasta salad or we can grab whatever out of the fridge and have times to prep and times to be able to run and play. Like, I mean, obviously we have a pool at our house, so that's going to look
Yeah, it's fun, but I also need to make sure that I can plan so I can be out there and hosting people and having people over. And that's going to take some planning, you know, to figure out like what's easy stuff to make to feed all the hungry swimmers, you know, in my life. So
yeah,
that's going to be fun. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. And I'm excited, just like, I'm trying to really think through a lot of those things too. Like when we get the opportunities to go to the park or go to the pool or go to the lake or wherever it is, like, how can we be like pre-planned enough that I've got things in place that we can be more spontaneous in the moment.
Yeah.
Like we already know what the plan is, if that's the opportunity what's that happening. Arises. Mm-hmm. And so this is how we act that out. And
yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts with taking all of those people places.
Yeah.
All of these people of ours places.
Yeah. I will say we did our first shopping trip with the family across the street a couple of weekends ago, and 8 people at Target. It's a lot of people at Target, but it was kind of funny because we do split down the middle, boys and girls. And so there is this like, okay, boys, you go get your boy stuff. Girls, we're going to go get our girl stuff. And we took about twice as long as the boys. But it was like, well, go sit in the car, you guys, because we're not done yet.
Yes, that's exactly how you do it with the family. Yep. There's those that sit in the car, go to the car, and then there's those that actually finish the shopping.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, you can come back Sounds and familiar. Carry our things to the car when we're done.
There you go.
Well, this was really fun. Thank you for talking about like current favorites, I feel like, in a different way than we have done it before.
Yes. I loved it. Love it. Love getting a chance to chat all the time.
Yes. All the people in our lives, which is really nice, especially coming out of like pandemic season.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
it's the theme for 2021.
Yes. For sure.
All the people.
Yes. Well, I will have you on again soon. Thank you so much for coming on, Shell.
Oh, thanks for having me. Love you.
Yep. Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies, that's it for this week's episode. As always, you can find the show notes by just swiping up in whatever app you are listening to the show. We would also love if you make sure to subscribe in whatever app you are using. And if you're over in iTunes, if you want to leave us a little rating and review, that makes a big difference too. Anytime you share out the show, anytime you leave a rating, a review, and let your friends know about it, it helps us to be able to continue to build what we have available here and just increase the content. And I just so appreciate when you guys do that. So thank you so much. You can, of course, also find our show notes over at mackenziekappa.com and click on podcast. And we've also got things on the blog like 5 Friday favorites and that sort of thing. That's where you can find a subscribe to the email newsletter that I send out on a weekly, every other weekly basis, so you can keep on top of everything that is happening across the Live Well Anyway platform. I'm so appreciative for each and every one of you who welcome me into your earbuds every single week. It means a lot to me that you keep listening to the show and that you are loyal listeners. You guys have been around for a long time, and I am so grateful for each and every one of you. So until next week, when I come back talking about summer planning, I hope you have a bold and gracious week.